Well, good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, February 5th, 2024. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise and lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make comments and raise your hands, virtual hands, you can click on the raise hand icon that will raise and lower the virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody is intending to speak and we can have one speaker at a time. At this point, everyone is on mute. I would request for you to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. So I would like to thank you in advance for that. As you know that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, I request everyone to please state your name before you make your comments. It helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone call who knowing who the speaker is and when people listen to the audio at the afterwards, it's helpful for them as well. I would also request speakers to describe themselves when speaking initially, just a brief description, for instance, I'm a female, Asian, Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. we do have guest speakers today. And I would request if you're using any visual presentation, please describe your presentation in detail for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. Chair Sheehan, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the committee roll call.
Perfect. Thank you, Anu.
Okay, wonderful. So to begin with, as I just said, that we will go through the roll call of the committee members after I finish reading the meeting agenda. At 5:35, Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approving today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes, as well as the board report. At 5:40, we have a team to provide us with any update about Metro's budget fiscal year 2025 and any communications plan. At 6:15, the committee will discuss the motions that were made at last month's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. 6:30, we will have public comments. At 6:45, the AAC bylaws work group will discuss the bylaws. At 7:20, we will have the bus and rail subcommittee report. 7:25, we will have the Metro Access Subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. That concludes the agenda. Now we will go through the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura.
Full speech.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Microphone or press and hold the space.
Thank
present.
You. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy. I believe Rico is
here.
Okay, thank you. Tuan Farmer.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Okay, thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marcy. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel. Sandy actually informed that she may not be able to join today. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonov. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I quickly want to state that we will take any public comments during the public comments segment. So if any members of the public would like to make comments, either you can send a chat message or raise hands when we begin that section so that we can take the members of the public in the order we receive their hands. Thank you. Chair Sheehan, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. I appreciate that. Okay, so we will go reviewing agenda, minutes, and board report. First, the agenda. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Very good. Very good.
A motion to accept.
Second, good. Thank you. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as written? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to
audio now unmuted.
Accept the minutes as written?
So moved.
I'll accept.
Okay. Very good. A second. Are there any objections to the minutes being accepted as written? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Third, we'll have the board report.
Alert. LG has joined the meet.
A motion to accept the board report as written.
This is Rico. So moved.
Thank you.
Paul Somerfort, second.
Very good. Any objections to the board report being approved Alert. As written? Hearing none, the board report will be approved as written. And of course, as always, if there's any new additions from the meetings that we have upcoming, of course, it's amended because of that. But we'll accept it as written right now.
And Pat, we probably want to amend it with some of our motions that are coming forth in this meeting.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Paul. Absolutely. Very good. Thank you. Good. We now have, we did ask for a couple of things at our last meeting. One was to get a discussion of the communication plan, basically what was happening with respect to outreach from WMATA's point of view. With respect to the hearings, where they'll be, when they'll be, and that sort of thing, and what the communication plan was going to be, how to get the word out to the public in general about what is happening with the upcoming hearings. And then, of course, if there is any new information on the budget process, I've been reading some things, as I'm sure everybody else has, and listening to WTOP and getting my information from there too and other places. So, but anything official coming from WMATA would be really, really great to hear right now. So I'm not sure who we have. I didn't get the names for
Chair
the-
Sheehan, this is Anu. Yes. We do have Alex Block. I would ask Alex to go ahead and start sharing any information, and please let me know if you have any other colleagues who are on this meeting to discuss this topic.
Thank you, Alex.
The floor is yours. Good evening. Yes, I am also joined by Matt Tingstrom and Mark Bowman. And we will have a chance to walk through briefly. I'm actually going to have Matt Tingstrom walk through the first part of our presentation. Just a moment while I share my screen. My apologies.
Alex, this is Mark. Would you like me to share the screen and just advance the slides?
Sure, if you can, if you've got it up,
Okay, let me give it a
please do.
shot.
Mark, we can see your screen. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay.
Great. So I think to give a brief overview of what we'll do, Matt Tingstrom will begin with a sort of an overview of the budget and where things stand, and then I will walk briefly through the service and fare components, and then Mark will be able to speak to the public outreach. So I will turn it over to Matt.
Okay. All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm Matt Tingstrom from Metro's Office of Management and Budget. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you about the FY25 budget. As you alluded to earlier, there is a lot of late-breaking news, we'll proceed with the information that we are able to share tonight, but I would encourage everyone to follow this Thursday's Finance and Capital Committee meeting. The materials were just posted perhaps an hour ago, we'll find the easiest way to share that link with the committee's participants. The advanced meeting materials are available for this Thursday, and they speak to revisions to the FY25 proposed budget. Until that board meeting happens, right now I'm going to speak to more general and the proposed budget that was first shared in December. So please bear with us. I apologize that we're kind of straddling a couple things in terms of the sequence of information, but. So back in December, as you know, we shared a proposed budget. And let me talk more high level about the context, right? The proposed budget was in response to the long-term structural deficit that we started sharing with you and the board back in June. That is a $750 million deficit on the operating budget side. And it's a structural problem that grows in the out years. That deficit is caused by three main factors, including support that Metro provided to the jurisdictions during the height of the pandemic. It also is caused by decreases in passenger revenues from changes in ridership and parking and advertising. And then we've also, like everyone, have been hit by historic inflation that occurred in 2022, and supply chain challenges that raised the cost of doing business. And over those years, federal relief played a critical role in helping us balance the budget while we had this imbalance. That federal relief runs out early in our fiscal year 2025. And also, as you may know, Metro can ask the funding jurisdictions to pay for operating costs. The increased amount that we can ask for from the jurisdictions every year is capped at 3% per year from the prior year, according to state law in Maryland and Virginia. So in light of those constraints, staff presented a proposed budget that addressed the fiscal deficit within our current funding constraints using substantial service cuts, fare increases that my colleague Alex will speak to shortly, and also including a large increase to the preventive maintenance transfer, which is using capital grant funding to pay for preventive maintenance costs that normally would be paid for out of the operating budget in a normal year. If we could go to the next slide, please. Our priorities in developing the proposed budget were to minimize customer impacts as much as we could. So we first did all of the efficiencies that we could do internally before we started looking at potential reductions to service. So this involved maximizing the amount of savings that we're generating to date and trying to increase one-time savings that we can make today and use those savings today to apply to next year's budget. We also identified reoccurring administrative efficiencies that total about $50 million a year. These are savings that will reduce our operating costs beginning in FY25 and every year going forward. Those do not involve impacts to service. And on the capital side, our priority has been to, within the funding constraints, to continue to prioritize projects that are needed to maintain our state of good repair, and of course, safety critical projects. The trade-off, of course, is expansion projects, modernization projects are put in the waiting list while these two higher priority areas are advanced. Okay, so that's where we are. And then again, currently the board's Finance and Capital Committee agenda for this Thursday includes some revisions to the proposed budget. But for more detail on the existing initiatives as proposed, I'm going to hand it over to Alex, Manager of Strategic Initiatives.
Thank you, Matt. Again, to introduce myself, my name is Alex Block. I work in our Office of Strategy and Policy at Metro, which is housed within the planning and performance part of the organization. I have brown hair and a beard, and I'm wearing a white shirt with a blue necktie today. So this slide has a very high-level overview of the proposed service and fare changes as part of the proposed budget that was released in December. And so again, as Matt had mentioned, in order to have a balanced budget with such a large gap, it requires very severe reductions in service on both bus, rail, and to the Metro Access network, as well as a large fare increase. And so for the proposed budget on Metro Bus, it involves eliminating service entirely on 67 of the 135 Metro Bus lines, and reducing service on 41 other Metro Bus lines. Altogether, it's about a 33% reduction in service in each of the three state-level jurisdictions. So it's a very significant change to the overall network. That has a lot more impacts on night and weekend service, depending upon where you are, but it is very significant indeed. For Metro Rail, there is a major reduction in frequency on all lines. What is proposed would be service every 15 minutes during the weekdays and every 20 minutes on weekends. Also proposed would be closing the entire rail system at 10 p.m., 7 days a week. The budget also includes a proposal to close 10 stations entirely. We did not specify precisely which 10 stations would be closed, only that these would be among the 10 lowest ridership stations in the system, and that we would not close more than two stations that are consecutive to each other on the same line. And the budget also included turning back half of all Red Line trains at Grosvenor and Silver Spring, and all of Silver Line trains at Stadium Armory. For fares, the budget includes a 25% increase in fares and a 20% increase in parking fees. And that would apply across the board to all of the base fare, the max fare, and the fare rates as well. One other thing I want to note on the rail side, there was an amendment adopted by the board to the docket to also look at the opportunity, and this is somewhat a preview of what might be included in the revised budget. The board wanted to look at the options of preserving the hours of operation on the rail system and including the options of potentially expanding service on weekend mornings by 1 hour or weekend late night service by 1 hour as well. So those will be included as part of the overall outreach. For Metro Access, the overall service would be reduced in accordance with the changes in the fixed route transit network. Currently we have a number of portions of the Metro Access service area that are expanded beyond the current extent of our fixed route network. And if you go to the next slide, we have more details on exactly what would be proposed, which would be to limit the Metro Access service area to the minimum required by federal regulations. We are currently estimate that approximately 20% of our current Metro Access trips are beyond this current legally required service area. And of course, that required service area will change as we make modifications to the fixed route network. So both with the changes to the hours of operation on the rail and bus, as well as eliminating a number of different bus routes, that will change the map. And we are working on developing a specific map to show the precise areas of those changes. If you can go to the next slide, we have a brief summary of the customer impacts for these severe service cuts. We would anticipate there would be about 23 million customer trips that would lose access entirely because their service would be eliminated. And all of the remaining customers would have substantially degraded service, where they would face much longer waits for buses and trains. They would face more crowded vehicles. It would be a substantially less useful service. And because of the limitations on hours of operation and things of that nature, we would have a much a very limited ability to support a lot of regional events or any sort of kind of service beyond the 10 p.m. closing. So again, that is the brief summary of the severe service cuts in the proposed budget. As Matt had mentioned, there is, I think, the opportunity for a revised budget that could substantially reduce or even avoid a great deal of these cuts. But the details of that will be are somewhat to be determined, and I encourage everyone to tune into the Finance and Capital Committee meeting on Thursday to hopefully learn more. But those, nonetheless, this service plan, because it is in the proposed budget, will be the basis of what we will seek public feedback on. And for that, I will turn it over to my colleague, Mark Bowman.
Thanks, Alex. Good evening, everyone. I'm Mark Bowman. I'm with Metro's Customer Experience and Engagement Department. I have brown hair and a beard, and I'm wearing a gray shirt. So I'm going to go over the communications goals, and we'll talk about the three public hearings that are in person, as well as the one virtual public hearing. Our first goal is to inform customers, community members, and stakeholders about the key budget proposals. And our objective is to drive feedback via the online survey and the public hearings. Here are some tactics we're going to use to reach hard-to-reach populations. We'll have signage on board buses and Metro Access vehicles, as well as print and digital signs in English and Spanish in all our rail stations. We'll have digital media and advertising, including social media, push notifications on the transit app, and information in non-English print publications. We'll have four public hearings for the public to provide testimony. I'll have more on those in a subsequent slide. And each public hearing that's in person will be preceded by an open house where you'll have an hour to meet with Metro staff and have your questions answered. And of course, we'll have our survey tool online, which is the primary source of feedback. We receive approximately 95% of all our comments through the survey tool. Here are some reference points where customers can get information. Of course, our website is the primary source of information for all customers, available fully translated in Spanish, as well as flyers in Amharic, Arabic, Chinese, French, Korean, Somali, and Vietnamese. Our brochure will be a condensed information pamphlet that we'll hand out at stations and high ridership bus loops. And we'll develop a stakeholder toolkit that we'll send out to our community partners. We can also share this with you with information about how you can spread the word through your social media channels or share it with your friends or if you have any newsletters. And here's the information about the public hearings. So there will be three in-person public hearings, all of which start at 6 p.m. and one virtual public hearing, which starts at noon. The first hearing will be Monday, February 26th at the Silver Spring Civic Building. And again, that's 6 p.m. The second hearing will be Tuesday, February 27th at the Metro L'Enfant headquarters. The third hearing will be Wednesday, February 28th at the Arlington County Boardroom. And the fourth hearing is virtual only. That's online, Thursday, February 29th at noon. And our public comment period will open this Saturday, so Saturday, February 10th through Tuesday, March 5th. You can go on to WMATA.com/budget and you can submit a written comment, you can upload letters, or you can take the survey and make your feedback part of the record. So that's a brief look at the communications effort. And with that, I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to try to stop sharing, and I'll be happy to take your questions.
All right. I think we're open for questions then.
Sure.
Are we open for questions? Great. We may have some questions.
Sure.
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for the presentation. Appreciate that. Questions from the audience. Questions from the committee.
Sure. Rico here.
Okay. So we do have two hands up, and then we'll take your question, Rico. Tino, I see your hand is up, followed by Denise Rush, and then Rico. So Tino, go ahead.
Yeah. You haven't addressed the concerns of the union, but beyond that, I circulated the Washington Post's article from this afternoon, in which they mentioned that the jurisdictions seem about ready to provide $450 million. However, even if all three do that, and there's still questions about, say, Maryland, that still will leave a $300 million shortfall. The original shortfall was $750 million with D.C., and perhaps Virginia and Maryland coming up with the figures that have been shared around, that still would mean a $300 million shortfall. That's a big shortfall. So how do you think WMATA will be able to come to grips with such a large shortfall?
Hi, this is Matt. Matt Tinkstrom in the Office of Management and Budget. I'll go ahead and start the response to that question. And I apologize, I didn't finish my introduction last time. I'm a male with black hair, glasses, a beard like my colleagues, and I'm wearing a red tie this evening. Tina, thanks for the question. It's a good one. I think what you'll see in the, this is a good slide. Thanks, Mark. The $750 million deficit from June is the starting point. And as we talked about, Metro has been doing everything it can to bring that number down and to mitigate the worst impacts, the most severe impacts of that, but even before the service cuts and the fare increases were discussed. And so the additional funding commitment is definitely welcome and would help with a large proportion of that deficit, but it also is going to require Metro to look at the initiatives that are up here on the screen, right? So we do have the $50 million in reoccurring task force savings. Those are those administrative efficiencies that don't impact service or our customers directly. And that's an ongoing savings that can help in FY25 and beyond. We also have the FY24 carryover, or those are the one-time savings, the savings that we're trying to maximize today that can be applied to 25. I would just point out that it does say one time, right? So that's a tool that we'll have available to use to help mitigate 25's budget deficit, but it's not something that will be reoccurring or will be in our toolbox when we get to FY26. So your concern is very valid in 26 and beyond for that category. The general manager, our CFO, spoke about internally what employees are bringing to the table. Metro's employees, in terms of 0% or a wage freeze for the two largest unions and all non-represented employees. And then the inflation, which is a concern, particularly on the non-personnel side of our expenses too, as we buy things like fuel, materials, and supplies. It's been lower than what we originally had forecasted back in June, of around 5%, and the assumption that we are currently using is that 3.5%. Before we even get to the other tools that I think will be discussed in the on Thursday's meeting, those go a long way to reducing the funding deficit before additional measures are applied. So it's going to be a lower number than the $750 million starting point in June. Thanks to a lot of the internal mechanisms that Metro is bringing to bring is applying to 25. So
okay.
Does that address your question?
Thanks. For now, sure.
Okay.
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
And just, I think, more information. I think the specifics, I think Thursday will help with those additional specifics in terms of, on top of what we've discussed here.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
This is Denise Rush. If a customer or passenger wants to attend all three meetings, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and they testify at all three, is that considered? Can you testify at all three meetings?
Thank you for that question. This is Mark Bowman. I don't know the answer, but I can check with our board secretary's office, unless you know, but I believe you are only allowed to submit one comment on the record. But let me check with our board secretary's office and I can send anew the answer to that question.
So if I could chime in, this is Christian Blake. For Metro Access, black male, I'm wearing a green jacket tonight, no tie, forgive me, y'all. I have spoken with the board secretary's office. They said you can testify at multiple hearings. However, the key is if you testified at, let's say, the first hearing and you go to the second one, regardless of the time or when you sign in, you will only be testifying once others who have not testified at a prior hearing have spoken. So if you're at the first one and you testify, you get to the second one, you're the first person to sign up. But there are 200 others who sign up after you prior to the hearing beginning. You will be the 201st person to speak, not the first.
Okay. You will be the 200th and not the first, even if you're there the first.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
okay. These locations, previously they had asked for more locations because the areas that we are covering are so large, but that is definitely that you will only have the four hearings. Hello?
Hi, this is Mark Bowman. Yes, correct. We're only having the four hearings, one in each jurisdiction, as well as virtual for those who can't make it in person.
And we definitely know the dates of the hearings now, but we do not really know where we stand with the information at this time. Does that mean that?
Hello?
That's not till February. So, okay, end of February. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rush. Next is Rico, and then Steve Kaplan, and then Paul Samuelford, followed by Phil Posner. So, Rico, go ahead.
Hey, my question is, will they have access for interpreter service, or do we have to request it since it's going to be a public meeting or be to the public? That's my question.
Thank you for that question. All the hearings will have ASL interpretation. If there is additional translation or interpretation for as far as language support, that would need to be requested.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Steve Kaplan, and I'm wearing a bluish shirt and just got my hair cut and have my normal smile, I think. And I also have a question. I think I've seen this presentation before, but now there's a bit of additional relevance to the details, and that has to do with, and my question isn't about knowing the details, but does the budget department have layered budgets such that if there's only a $300 million deficit or only a $200 million deficit or maybe no deficit, what are the different services that are going to be affected? I think at this point that may be of a
I think Steve dropped anew.
Yes.
But I think you got the gist of his question. Well, there he is again.
Okay. Hi, I'm back again. Sorry.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Did you hear my question? My question was, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh.
Steve, we can hear you.
The question was to the budget people, do you have layered budgets? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I lost a connection. I had to come back. My question to the budget people is, do you have layered budgets such that, let's say, the deficit after some funding that comes in from the municipalities is only 300 million or 150 million, do you have the individual items that will be affected?
Alex, do you want me to, I can start and then please add. This is Matt Tinkstrom in the Office of Management and Budget. Thanks for the question. I think what you're going, from the materials that are just posted and what's going to be discussed on Thursday is a specific revision, a proposed revision. It's a proposal. Fares and service are ultimately, board decisions and will be considered by the board. But Thursday, there is a specific proposed revision to the budget proposal for FY25. While the board certainly has flexibility to make its own decisions, and a wide array of options have been put on the table, Thursday will be a specific proposal from staff for revising the 25 budget.
And I can add a little bit to that, Matt. Again, this is Alex Block with the Strategy and Policy Office. I would definitely encourage everyone to tune in on Thursday to the board for more discussion on sort of the overall scope of what a revised budget might look like. I don't know that presentation will get into nitty-gritty details when it comes to service. But it should give, I think, a high-level sense of what might be possible. I can also refer anyone back to a board presentation in October of 2023, where we as staff presented to the board a number of different potential targeted service concepts that would be smaller scale reductions in service and ways to try to find efficiencies in service that were not nearly as expansive as the severe service cuts that were required by the balanced budget that is part of the overall proposed budget. So I can try to find a link and make sure to share that with a new, so that you can all refer back to that to get a better sense of sort of the scale of what kind of service changes might be under consideration. But again, yes, as Matt mentioned, this will be the starting point for the board's consideration. Ultimately, it will be their decision to make.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve. Paul, go ahead.
Hello, Paul Simplefort here, African-American male, age 48, shaved head, a green and gray top on, and the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Good evening. So my questions are, between you and Mr. Blake, are the following. So what we're hearing right now is, from what I saw from your slides, is that with Metro Access Service, what is being proposed on the table right now in consultation with Metro Access Management, I presume, is possibly to maintain the service, but there will be a price fare increase. Is that correct? Or, okay, I'm looking at the slide right now. Metro Access is limited to service area, to required service area. Okay, so that is still on the chopping block. Okay, never mind. So my question is probably to Mr. Blake. Given that the hearings are at the end of this month and we're already in the 5th of December, and I'll be presenting some, motions after this presentation, to hopefully fill the gap. So how long will it take for all of these wonderful flyers announcing it to get onto the vans, sedans, and minivans? Because sometimes it might take a while. We just want to get a sense of approximately, because of the timing of the hearings, when will this be shown up on all the vehicles? We would possibly prefer to have this done by the end of the week, just because the hearings are coming up by the end of the month. And obviously, question is, even though the answer is probably no, there would not be any of this in Braille for blind people to feel and know it's on board. But I'm going to address that in a different manner with some motions to help even that level that playing field. But if you can respond to that, Mr. Blake.
Yes, Christian Blake here. By the end of the week is certainly our goal. I can't guarantee every vehicle, every situation by the end of the week, but it will be very soon. We now have the information, we have the dates. So the first thing you're going to hear, though, as customers, and this should be by the end of the week, if not in the next couple of days, is the robocall to all eligible Metro Access customers. That's what we're first working on in terms of just an immediate outreach of information. But the flyers on the vehicles, end of the week, certainly very, very early next week, now that we have the information.
And this is Alex Block. I do have one important clarification to note is that while the slide I have up here does show the severe reductions in service, including to the Metro Access service area, that is still part of the proposed budget. However, that are the revised budget that will hopefully be public this Thursday may be substantially different from this. So I apologize for the confusion and that there's the challenge of keeping the proposed budget with the revised budget straight in everyone's minds. But we I just wanted to note that potential difference. So there is good news, I think, hopefully with the revised budget. But we still have to have the board addressed the proposed budget that is on the table.
So then my request is going to be of WMATA staff is once we got a handle of the revised budget, we as the AAC members would like to get a copy of it because obviously I will be tweaking the agenda for the Metro Access Subcommittee, which meeting which comes before the public hearing, to see if we need to, based on what that comes out to be, what we say is our talking points, because obviously that's going to modify that depending on what comes out.
And one other thing to note on the public hearings is, and this is again a bit of our own legally required process, is that our public hearings are required to seek feedback on the worst case scenario in the budget. And so for that reason, in case any of the additional funding from the jurisdictions falls through, we still need to have all of these severe service cuts on the table. So they will remain on the table for the purpose of gathering public feedback. But I think we are hopefully optimistic that with some of the news that they may not come to pass.
Thanks, Alex. This is Mark Bowman with Customer Experience and Engagement. I was going to note that. So, as far as communications, we are proceeding with this worst case scenario that we're all familiar with. We will make a note on the website and on the flyers that state that jurisdictions are currently working through funding legislation. However, that legislation has not been funded or passed yet. So, we do need to present the budget that we originally were planning to present to the public. So don't be alarmed if you do see that on the website, for example. That doesn't mean that anything has changed. We just are presenting the budget that we originally are going out with. So just for your reference.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Dr. Posner, you had raised your hand. Did you still have your questions or comments?
No, thank you. They've been answered.
And Anu? Anu?
You're muted.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you, Dr. Posner, for clarifying. Next we have is Philip Weintraub. And then, Pat, I see you.
And I'll be the last speaker, right, because I know we have agenda items also.
Okay. Philip, go ahead.
I have a couple questions. First, I was wondering, like, with the public hearings, do you know how it's going to be communicated to people on the metro, or would it be, like, announcement at the stations or on trains, or would it be, like, on billboards or whatever? And also another thing is there's been some confusion about, like, because there's stuff I've been hearing stuff over social media, like they're gonna rather that they there might be possibility that they're possibly talking closing some stations to cut down on the cost, or is that still on the table?
This is Mark Bowman. I can take the first part of your question. So we'll have various, as you can see on the slide, various ways of communicating to people, including print and digital signs in all the metro stations, as well as onboard all metro buses and metro access vehicles. We will be doing social media posts. We'll be using the transit app to send a push notification to users, which is a really effective way to reach people who use that app to get around. And we will have information in print publications, in local newspapers, as well as a lot of non-English publications. We'll also be using, of course, our media relations channels. This is very newsworthy and very important to the community. So we'll make sure to leverage the media to get the word out through television and radio. And then again, it's important to note that the public hearings, we love people to come out and submit feedback, but if you're not able to, the survey tool counts just the same as giving an in-person testimony. So we do encourage you to take time to go to our website, wamana.com/budget, and submit your feedback through the survey tool. And that will be available again starting this Saturday, February 10th.
And Alex Block here again. I can speak a little bit to the service portion. You had mentioned a discussion on social media about closing stations. And again, as we had mentioned before, because of the need for the budget process and the public hearings to document the worst case scenario, we do have, as part of that worst case scenario proposed budget, a proposal to close up to 10 rail stations. These would be the 10 of the lower ridership stations without closing two stations on the same line in a row. So that is on the table. We will be seeking feedback about that option.
Okay, thank you, Mark and Alex. Next, Pat, I see your hand is up, and then I see Vanessa Coles raised her hand, and Ms. Rush.
And we'll okay. We do need to get on to our next item. So, okay. Denise, you'll be the last one to speak. Okay. Maybe this is more for the committee or whatever, but based on one of the asks that we had to WMATA staff and Mr. Blake, I think it more or less comes down onto you with respect to metro access. I would think that since the official budget still is going to be our beloved doomsday budget here that we've heard since December, that any notification should go out based on the worst case scenario, because that is going to be the scenario that we're going to be responding to, it looks like. So, and I understand, although we all have heard monies being pledged by the jurisdictions, none of that funding has come through. So that isn't really being counted as in the bank. And so I guess I would ask the committee or to think about that with respect to our ask to be able to notify the affected Metro Access people who could lose service, could be worst case scenario. I think we said about 9,000 people, based on the fact that we expect this budget that we heard tonight to be the one that we were reacting to, even if we do get something on Thursday. I'm not quite sure how we want to handle that.
So I will add, yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Christian Blake. So yes, first, our plan in terms of the Metro Access team's direct efforts, as we heard earlier, is a mass robocall to, or calls. It probably won't just be one, but we don't want to overwhelm and seem like we're, you know, the telemarketers who get on people's nerves either. But there will be significant messaging to all Metro Access eligible customers. That's first and foremost. Then the part about the information on the vehicles. That's step two. Then step three is to, here as my colleague has pointed out, yes, there is the hearings that are based on the doomsday, although that could change somewhat on Thursday. What we want to do is not send any individual into a panic. We're trying to identify the exact individuals based on the most current information we will have from the board and the leadership. And those will be the individuals based on the map who we have a additional outreach to let them know that based on what is on the table at the time, their service, their direct service to Metro Access is in jeopardy.
Okay. And my question is, will that be based on what we're seeing now as the official doomsday budget, or will that be based on the revised budget that is now going to supersede the doomsday budget on Thursday?
The latter. Okay. If nothing changes between now and Thursday,
right,
then it will be today's budget. There is some changes, and we anticipate there may be, it will be based on what is the latest information and proposal on the table at the time.
Right. Okay, good. That answered my question. Thank you. Yes, good. Sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Patrick and Mr. Blake. Vanessa, you're up next, and then Ms. Rush, and then we will wrap up this topic. Vanessa, you can unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Anu. I am a Black, middle-aged, African-American woman. And my question, and it may have been answered, I've been just inconsistent with this internet, but Mr. Blake, is there going to be some kind of special for those that utilize Uber, should they give a certain place or can that be coordinated where exactly the Uber driver can take the passengers?
Okay, so you're talking about transportation for the hearings?
Yes, for the hearings.
Okay, yes, so sir. Yeah, so you would book your trips on Metro Access like normal, and while it's possible or even likely, because this is the easiest lottery for people to win, your trip may be assigned to Uber. But as I've always said, you're never guaranteed to have your Metro Access trip moved to a taxi or Uber. So you're booking your trip just like you normally would in terms of booking on Metro Access to the public hearing. And then if the computer selects your trip for Uber or taxi, that information will be transferred to that provider.
So the entrance, the side entrance, all that information, Uber will have it because they have a tendency to, wherever they say stop, they stop. So because I've had people say they've been taken to the front entrance, side entrance, or the back entrance. Just wanted to make sure people are not let off at the wrong entrance.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not hearing that necessarily, but no, we'll give them the address and we'll treat this just like recently we've had several events with the National Federation of the Blind, and we have road supervisors there to support, and there'll be several people riding different Ubers being dropped off at the location, as well as a few people in Metro Access vehicles, and it's always seemed to work out, so I don't see this as being any different.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Ms. Rush, you have any follow-up questions or comments?
Yes, excuse me. Am I understanding that we're looking at the worst case scenario right now? And does that mean that whether they meet the budget shortfall or not, the service area will be cut back to the required area by the ADA, regardless if we meet it or don't, the service area for Metro Access will now, July, be cut back to the area that they are required. It doesn't matter. We meet it, that area is going to be cut back. So there will be no more grandfathering, because people, you have to make it clear to people for them to try to understand it and try to get prepared. So I'm just trying to get it in my mind. Am I correct at what I stated? Hello?
Yeah.
Christian, you can go ahead.
Oh, okay. At the moment, right now, the budget that is before us today is, like they say, if the election were today, as they always say, if the budget hearing was today, yes, the Metro Access service area would be based on 3/4 of a mile of fixed route service. Thursday, there's going to be another board meeting in which decisions are going to be made, and that may or may not be one of them, which is, yes, keep it at 3/4 of a mile moving forward, although a scenario could be that there'll be fewer bus cuts. So you would still have the 3/4 of a mile, but it will be closer to where we are today if there are fewer bus cuts than there are today. Or there could be other decisions made with respect to the Metro Access service area. Today, it's 3/4 of a mile, regardless of how much is cut. Thursday may be different.
And Mr. Blake, just to add to this, I believe that when I spoke at the board meeting, I did ask the board to fully fund Metro Access, regardless of anything else that happened.
I
don't know if that would be the case, but that's a third option.
That's an option as well, absolutely.
And the one other thing that I would like to add, again, this is Alex Block, is that the public hearing docket is required to look at that worst case scenario. And so the public hearing docket will go forward seeking feedback on that worst case scenario, but that does not mean that the board must follow through on that proposal. The board has the option to do something different, so long it is not worse than the worst case scenario.
And Paul, I think you had the... You want to say something else?
Yeah. Yep, my last brief question to Mr. Blake as we go back to public hearings. Now, because we don't know until you get to that day how many people are going to be signed up in speaking order and everything, what if we have And there'll be a wonderful show out of a lot of Metro Access customers. Now we know what time to get there. The question is, will any customers be left behind because they have to make some kind of window to go home and they haven't gotten an opportunity to speak yet and want to speak at the hearing? So how will y'all handle that? I know in normal days that generally wasn't an issue, but what if we supposedly, depending on what comes out of the budget and the number of customers that do come are a lot. How are we going to allow customers the opportunity to speak, but still be guaranteed a ride home,
Yeah,
depending on how they make their window?
that's a great question. And yes, in the past few budget cycles, we haven't had that problem. And again, running the best paratransit service in the nation, I don't anticipate us having that problem. But what we do is have the service providers there, and given all the different services, I mean, Ms. Coles, member of the committee, has already mentioned she anticipates using Uber before we even know she's going to be
Yeah,
selected for Uber.
but
But the
the
point,
reason she asked for that is some flexibility because we know if we get like 200, 300 Metro Access customers each night, and y'all have to manage getting them out there, and they don't know what time they're going to speak and
that's
they
my
want to
point.
stay.
That's my
So
point. The reason
would
why
they
we
be
haven't
allowed to
had,
speak and
right,
stay?
but that is my point. I mean, I was teasing with Vanessa when I said that. The point is, the reason why we haven't had the problems and don't anticipate the problems will be combining paratransit service with the alternatives, and it gives in that type of combination, as it has done every day for the last 5 years, gives everybody a lot of flexibility, both Metro Access as well as those who are assigned to alternative services. So if Paul Semaford is in line 30 and everybody is using up their full 3 minutes, and you have a trip that's scheduled, the road supervisor will be right there. He or she will be communicating with the OCC. And again, we anticipate that to be the least of our concerns
Okay.
over the hearings.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. I'd like to thank our guests here for a excellent briefing on where we are and excellent questions, also follow-up from the committee. Thank you very much. It's good. Thank you. And appreciate the also the communication plan that was also asked for, and I appreciate that going forward. So good to get the information out. And then it'll be up to us to try to get people to turn out for these hearings. Very good. Paul, I think you are up next. You have a series of motions that you want to put forward
Yes, I
based on
do.
your Metro, based on what we did with the Metro Access meeting last last month.
And I have it up on the screen. I guess I probably should have a new share my screen as I blow this up from the draft meeting minutes so that people can actually see it as I speak it, just to be fair. Is that permissible anew?
Yes, you should be able to share, or would you like me to share? Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me hit share screen.
And Paul, just while you guys are doing that, I'll just add that we want to have official positions coming out of the committee, and these are the official committee positions if they pass. And of course, these are what we can speak to as AAC members. Otherwise, speaking as an individual is also effective too. But it's good to have these as our basic talking points if they pass.
All right, so the first motion that was passed at the subcommittee level that I bring before the main committee for consideration is the first one is to request Metro to communicate with customers via the IVR to advise of the public hearings as done in the past, and hopefully with that the other piece to that is, you dial the main number, it's accessible to everyone that dials the main Metro Access number. They hear general statement about the hearings is I would presume staff would work to do. And then there will be a series of buttons to press prompts to get more detailed information, since we don't want to overload the front end of the IVR with so much messaging, as it already has some messaging, from time to time. So that
So
is
the
the first
motion,
motion.
right. So the first motion, if you could just read that motion without the explanation, Paul, just
Oh,
so we
okay.
know. Yeah.
All right, I was given an explanation. So, to request Metro to communicate with customers via IVR to advise of the public hearings as done in the past. That's the first motion.
Okay, so you're asking for a second to that motion, right? You moved the motion and I second it. Good. Okay. And then the explanation, of course, was well done. Is there any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Is there any opposition? Any abstentions? Very good, Paul. Go on to motion number two.
Request Metro Access Management to notify the customers who would be affected by the changes as soon as feasible. That is the second motion. I think
Okay.
that speaks to itself, as
And
we
you
already
so moved.
discussed it.
Right.
And
And you so
I
moved.
moved that.
And I'll second that. And then I did speak a little bit to this in that the notification would be based on what we're going to hear on Thursday, which would be the revised budget proposal based on perhaps some of the numbers we've been hearing or whatever the board decides to do with Metro Access. So we would base our outreach to those people based on the revised population on Thursday's meeting, as opposed to the doomsday budget, 9,000 people, which they officially have to have as the part of the docket.
And that the communication can be like robocall, email, whatever feasible means that they can do to get out, multiple feasible means that they can do that
But
in.
the population will be based on the revised budget on Thursday. Yes. So I'm and I just wanted to make sure the committee understood that. Okay.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. Dr.
Yes.
Posner raised his hand.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yes, I think for motion two, that's not a feasible motion or of any value, since nobody will have any information until after everybody's budget has passed. And even after the budget has passed, until the individual groups in bus and rail and Metro Access know what their individual budgets are really going to be and prearrange them. So it's a nice request, but it's meaningless. And I know you say as soon as feasible, and as soon as feasible is probably not going to be until next July when the new budget year begins.
Well, if changes come in, you have to let people know almost immediately because this
Yes,
changes their
exactly.
lives.
Yes, and that will happen, but you know what you're worried about, and nobody's going to know until July what's really going to happen. It's going to be a moving target until July because we are again dealing with the jurisdictions, but guess what? There is also a federal component and continuing resolution. So that's all I'm saying is
But in the
it's
spirit
a
of
nice
things,
motion, but don't expect anything to happen.
Okay,
Yeah.
but it's something we put out there. So, I guess I moved it, and Pat, I
I
guess you'll
second it.
second it.
Right. And Phil was discussing it. Any other discussion? All right. Paul, you want to call the question? You want me to?
Call the question. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye for motion number two.
Aye.
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 Nays, abstentions,
All
the
right. Good.
motion carries.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, this next and last one came from another beloved member of ours, who advocated for motion number three, Doris. Request to hold two budget hearings in all three jurisdictions. And of course, we already have the ones presented by WMATA, but we still want to have on the record, in the spirit, in the future, that we would like to see, from my understanding from Doris, equality in different locations within each jurisdiction, so people have equal access to getting to these in person, is from what I heard from her.
And so that would be the all the jurisdictions within Virginia, Arlington.
So this would be Maryland, DC, and Virginia. She was holding two budget hearings each. So if you're looking at DC, you want to hold one across the river with Ward 7A, one in Northwest, or Maryland, hold one in Montgomery County, and then PG, that we, those are the big counties we service, or in holding, at least hold two budget hearings in Virginia and central locations. I think that's what the spirit of this was.
And that's six hearings plus another, which would be a total of seven hearings, six in person and virtual, plus one totally virtual. And I'll point out that's pretty unrealistic request concerning the cost of setting up the meetings.
But I will
And I
say.
agree with Doris about the access, but with virtual access, everything is accessible. And setting up six, the cost of running all of the Metro Access, all of the Uber, obtaining positions that are adequately accessible, it's hard enough to get three.
Well, I'm
You
just
know
I'm,
from your experience of the last 10 years, requesting six is unrealistic.
but just as pay devil's advocate to Doris, I will say, like, for instance, in New York City, when they hold public hearings, they do get one in every of the five boroughs and Westchester and the border places. So they hold their seven for their budget hearing. So I can see where she's coming from with this.
And okay, so
So.
we had a, let's see, you moved. I seconded.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I
Other.
would also announce a negative vote on my part because in the past we tried not to ask for things that were outrageous and ridiculous. It hurts our input. In the past, we have always asked for things that were feasible. Thank you.
Okay.
That's a no vote.
Okay, that you have a right to that.
I
Any
know.
other discussions?
Yes, this is Ms. Rush. That we're having budget hearings because we have a budget shortfall. To have that many meetings, you're going to have less money. Even then, it's a great idea, but we're asking for something that we're not going to get, and it's costly. It's very costly. And with the three meetings that they have had, you have a few people come, and then the hearing is over.
Right.
But I'm sure this time there will be many because it's affecting every passenger using WMATA that is going to be crowded, and I'm against
You're speaking
that.
against it.
Yes, I
Okay.
am.
Okay. Good. Any other comments? Okay. Paul, do you want to call the question?
All the question, all those, and we're going to count, I guess, whoever names, all those, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right. Nays, so we need to count.
Aye.
Any, who are the nays?
Nay.
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 All right, so we heard the new hopefully is recording how many people. I hear one, two.
I'm trying.
Do we need a roll call vote, Anu?
I think it might be helpful, yes.
Okay, all right. Why don't we do a roll call vote here?
All right,
All
give
right.
1 second.
So, go ahead. Yeah, and then you administer the roll
So,
call.
Azar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia,
Abstain.
Vanessa Coles, Vanessa, do you vote? Okay. Rico Dancy? Tawan Farmer?
Rico says yes.
Yes. Okay. Tawan Farmer?
Please clarify this one. I just want to make sure I understand before I make a vote. Otherwise, I take an abstain.
Paul, would you like to clarify?
So the request is to hold two budget hearings each in all three jurisdictions. So the idea, because Doris brought this up as a third motion at the Metro Access meeting, is we would find two, you know, equitable places for people to hold it in Northern Virginia, two in D.C., like one Northwest or one like across the river for the largest populations, and then in Maryland it probably would be one in Prince George's and one in Montgomery County.
Okay.
In terms of equity, in terms of equal regional spreading, so people have better the perception is equitable access to
into the hearings. Into the communities.
Yes,
I'm for that. I'm for it.
Okay, that's a yay.
Yes.
Debbie Fisher is not on this meeting. Marcy Goldstein.
Yay.
Okay. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Yes.
Thomas Steinbrum. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Nay.
Sandy is not on this meeting. Phil Posner.
I can't vote twice. I already voted once.
All right. I was just calling for the record. Thank you. Denise Rush? Nay.
Nay. Nay.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore?
Yes.
Kelly Simono?
Nay.
No.
Philip Weintraub?
Yay.
Okay, thank you. So we have six yays, one abstain.
I think there were two.
I knew this was Vanessa. I'm sorry, I was not able to unmute, and I say my vote is nay.
Your vote is nay, okay. So that includes one more name, and that makes it four.
What is the vote, Anu?
So we have six yays and four nays.
Okay.
You sure it wasn't five?
I'm sorry?
I thought it was five nays.
The motion carries, though.
You're right. Thank you.
Six and five. Okay.
Five, yes.
Well, we just want the record correct.
Yeah, you want the record correct, especially in this one.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Glad we had a roll call vote. That's good. Okay. Ooh. Motion passes. Any other motions, Paul?
Did we want to already, while we're in this space, adopt a position for this, or because this would be the last time, unless we do it at the Metro Access subcommittee meeting, no, in terms of talking points, we do that vote and count it as for the whole committee?
No, I think we do it here.
Okay.
So your next motion, Paul?
I guess our next motion is we need to discuss, you know, the talking points in itself. I know we uttered about it in the meetings. Did you want to make a motion as to what we want to agree on as talking points as a committee?
Yes.
So my understanding is, boy, now you be on the spot, that we would we are advocating for keeping the service area as is intact, along with service hours, mm-hmm. And we also, I think, have a consensus that we also want to have Yeah, so remain the same service area, service hours, and a flat fare, whatever that price increase might be.
Okay, so I think there was one more, or maybe two more.
I think there was one or two more, though, but those are the three I remembered heard loud and clear.
You have those correct. So we'll take one at a time. The other two, that the other one that I'll add to your list is we have advocated for a fully funded metro.
Okay.
That's number one. You're right about the service hours remaining the same and the service area remaining the same. Flat fare was the third one. And then I would add one perhaps that we could go forward with is that in any case under whatever the scenario is that we are going to be left with, that we want to see a fully funded Metro Access budget, since this is individual safety net and they have no other options to get around. So fully fund Metro Access, regardless of what else is happening in the system.
So with that, that will be the motion on the floor for our position.
So do we want to take them individually, one at a time, or do we want to take them as a group?
Let's see. Wanting to maintain service area and service hours as is, and flat fare, I think those will be pretty much undisputable. Generally.
Yeah. I think a fully funded metro is undisputable too.
Yeah. Okay. So we can do that as a lump, you know, there.
I have my hand up, but I don't know whether you see it or not.
Steve, I do. We haven't reached the discussion part yet.
Flat fare is a done deal. It's been voted on by the board.
No.
It's been instituted. I don't even think it's appropriate to raise it as a discussion item.
Yeah, I think it is, Paul. I mean, Steve.
Don't even raise it as an inquiry.
Okay, so should we take them one? Paul, looks like we want to take them one at a time.
Okay.
Then we'll have discussion on that one, Steve. And that's fine. So why don't we take it,
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Paul.
All the talking points that are being discussed will be presented by the chair or vice chair directly to the full board and the general manager. What individuals do in their letters, in their hearings, are up to them to decide how they feel, but not as representative of the committee. But for the talking points for the entire committee, they're going to be presented to the full board by the chair or the vice chair, whoever gives the report, over the multiple months before the budget actually takes place. So once again, when you talk about talking points, these are suggestions to the individuals to share with their constituents that when they write letters, when they take the survey, when they speak at the hearings, tell their story. And if they want to address any of these potential talking points, that's fine. But it's not a complete package. Otherwise, you're turning grassroots into AstroTurf.
Oh.
Okay. Any other discussions on that?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu.
Yes, Anu.
We have two other hands up. Denise Rush, and then I see Thomas's iPad. Is that Thomas Mangrum?
Okay, let's go with...
Yes.
Okay, Thomas, after Denise Rush. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Thank you, Denise. Go ahead.
What Phil is stating is true. We have been communicating and presenting our positions at the board of directors meetings, and they know how the AAC committee feels about these issues. When you go to the hearing, it's about your personal concern. If you are blind, you're going to be speaking about your blindness. In a wheelchair, you're speaking about your situation. If you're going to be changing dialysis centers, it's going to have a problem with your job. The hearings are for your personal experiences that you may feel, that this change will affect you in what way it will affect you. The board of directors, and you can watch the meetings, the past meetings, and see that the board of directors know exactly what they are doing, and we're hoping that they make good decisions and have compassion. Thank you.
Thanks, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas?
This is Thomas Mangrum. I'm African-American. My thing is this. When they do finalize everything on Thursday, because my understanding that everything must be finalized this Thursday. When they do, and they get the information out there, is they gonna get it out there in time for people to catch buses, metro access, to know about the different hearings, know the addresses, or how to get to the different hearings, or whatnot? Because I know for those of us that use metro access, we could call metro access and tell them that we want to go to this hearing, that hearing, and they'll take us and bring us back home. But how about for the other ones that don't use metro access, they just use the subway and the bus? How will they get there? Because I want to make sure that everyone is able to get to the hearings about the budget, because I want to fight for the budget, the full budget, if it's possible for us to do that. And also maybe even fight for us to be like different places like New York, where they already have a thing set up every year for a budget, so we don't have to go to this again. Because like, we're going to this now, they're going to come up again later on. So that's what I was thinking about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So it looks like from the past, Pat, from what Phil is advising and Denise is advising, is we have our talking points. We'll circulate amongst ourselves in email after we hear about Thursday and have some talking points for everyone and lead that as that versus having an official position.
Okay. That seems to be a strong consensus on the committee. So we will keep those as our official talking points.
And people use them as see fit.
And people can use them as they see fit. I agree. I also agree with Denise in that the most effective portion of your testimony is not going to be repeating the talking points, though you can use them. It will be your own story. Your own story is far more important, because they have actually heard these talking points from us that have been in front of the board for the last 3 months.
So given the fact it's 7:04, obviously I will not be presenting bylaws today, because you still got to get customer comment first. And if, depending on customer comments here, you're probably going to have to, we might get committee, subcommittee reports.
We might get committee. And so, okay, so we'll go with those.
It's going back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. So we will continue on. Thank you for the motions going forward. And those will be official positions. The talking points, we have gone over them at infinitum, December, January, now February. So use them as you will. And we will now go on to, what is it, public comment period, Anu, correct?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
So for the public comments, I just want to remind the members of the public That we will have 2 minutes each for every individual who would like to make public comments. I do see that we have three people with their hands up. If any other members of the public would like to make comments, please either send me a chat message if that's feasible, or raise your hands and we can take the comments in the order received. I would... Okay, so we have four at this point, starting with Janice Samuel, Michelle Lindsay, Regina Lee, and then Ansel Torres. Janice, when you start speaking, your timer for 2 minutes will begin.
2 minutes. So I'd like to squeeze in two topics if I can. First, it was touched on by Thomas and Ms. Coles. I just want to clarify, we have the four hearing dates, times, locations, but in Mr. Blake's robocall, will it include the addresses of the in-person hearings? And or can he send out an email that will contain the addresses? And that way he can also send a Zoom link to the virtual hearing. That would be great. Second topic is on the pillars in Metro Rail. For the Red Line, the Glenmont and Shady Grove locations have been changed to north-south, and I thought we had said that we did not want that change, because then we have to figure out what's north, what's south. Understand that Glenmont is still on the maps, but we only have a few seconds that we're able to focus on that.
Janice, you're on mute if you're speaking.
So that's my two questions and issues.
Janice, just want to confirm if you're still speaking or if your comments are...
Oh, coming. Can you hear me? No?
We can hear you now. For a few seconds, we could not hear you in the middle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I cut off? So, the Glenmont and Shady Grove is no longer on the pillars. It's just as north-south. So individuals aren't certain which direction they need to go if they're not familiar with the area. And even if you are, you kind of have to stop and think about it. And on the maps, it still has Glenmont and Shady Grove, but it flips so fast, it's kind of hard to get your bearings before an ad appears.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Next would be Michelle Lindsay. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Based on the meeting that I'm listening to from evening, I'm wondering if what is said is meant that even though the funding, you might get the funding, change is still going to be made. Second, I'm wondering if I'm going to be totally affected by the Metro Access system, seeing that in my area, it is peak hours, yes, but it's also serviced by ride-on buses and not Metro buses nor Metro Rails in my area. So I'm wondering how much will this affect me? Will I be totally disconnected, being a legally blind person? So that's my questions.
And I that's one of the decisions that we'll have to wait for on Thursday to see what the board is going to propose as a revised budget. Whether your buses are still going to be running in the jurisdiction is another question also. So all of that still is up in flux. And, according to the doomsday budget, that is pretty much a lot of it would be cut, including, the local buses in your jurisdiction, maybe. But we really have to wait until we see what is happening on Thursday, because at least I've read that there has been as much as $480 million pledged against what could be a $500 million deficit.
Only 450 million.
480 million.
No, 50 million. And they're not pledged.
No, Tino, you're wrong. Tino. He's right.
Tino.
I do.
Tino. Yeah, let me just say, Tino, regardless of the numbers, I mean, you're right. It's been pledged. They've been promised, but nothing's in the bank. And so I've seen a lot of things, as you have, over the last few days. You know, the point is we need to wait until Thursday to see what the revised budget's going to look like. The other things on the table, really, as we stated tonight, was that irregardless of what happens with the rest of the budget, we want to see Metro Access funded at its current rate with its current service area and service hours, regardless of what they do to the rest of the system, because people on Metro Access don't have another option. So there's all kind of scenarios out there, and we can't say which one is going to, you know, be the case. I think Thursday's meeting will be very important for us to be able to make some decisions. And I know that there's more work being done in Virginia. Hopefully more work is being done in Maryland. And we'll see what happens. But I think the one thing that we will be able to say, and they rather intimated it on tonight, is that they're giving us worst case scenario. What we're going to hear on Thursday is going to be a better view of what we might be able to get. And that's what we have to wait and see. The decision as to then who will be affected and notified after that will be based on the numbers that we get and the scenario that we get on Thursday, and not the 9,000 worst case scenario.
Just for the record, I'm referring to the Washington Post article this afternoon.
Tino, yeah, I know. So am I.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but we do want to make sure that we take all public comments.
Right.
Sure.
Regina Lee, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Good afternoon. My name is Regina Lee. And I'm a little confused by this advisory committee, because you all had the WMATA representatives here, and you didn't ask them questions that you later voted on, such as, why isn't there going to be a hearing in Prince George's County? Montgomery County and Prince George's County are far and wide from each other. So why didn't you ask them why you had them on the phone? I mean, had them there with you, why there's not a Prince George's County public hearing? And also, I do disagree with you all talking about the two meetings per jurisdiction, but there should be at least one meeting per area, not two per jurisdiction, but one per area. So you need to actually go back and ask for WMATA to have a hearing in Prince George's County, not just in Montgomery County. So that's a really long area to have to deal with. My second issue is, what are these signs WMATA's putting up going to say? I mean, are they talking about having the hearings? Or are they talking about the budget? I mean, you all didn't ask them what the signs are going to say. So do you all know what they're going to say that they're putting up in the Metro Access vehicles and everything? And then my third question is, Ms. Rush asked Mr. Blake about eliminating grandfathering. That question was not answered. The question is, if you've already been grandfathered, no matter what, is grandfathering going to be eliminated? That's the question Ms. Rush was asking, and it was never answered. Thank you.
Chris Blake, the only reason I didn't hear the word grandfather, I may have missed it, so I apologize.
Yeah, that was really what she was getting to. She said grandfathering.
She did say grandfathering. Okay, yeah. I apologize for that. That decision too has not been fully made. I was talking about the 3/4 of a mile.
Correct. Yeah, now, that's why when she didn't get the answer. Okay. And that's why I said I better say something, because she was really talking directly to grandfathering versus, you know.
Okay, so the question is specifically, has there been a decision on whether or not grandfathering will continue as is? The answer has not been decided yet, but I mean, I can't guess, but if I had to take a guess, I don't believe grandfathering is going to be impacted by this, but I cannot say for certain that is going to be the final answer at this moment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Yeah, thank you.
And also the communication going out in the past has always been what is officially on the docket, which we have sort of notated here as the doomsday budget. And I think that would be the one that would be going out. Even if the board has a better budget that they're going to be presenting on Thursday, what is going to be coming out is what they presented to us today.
So what has happened in the past on the IVR is you get a general announcement about the public hearings, because I've made this proposal before. And then when you hear about it, they'll tell you what numbers to push to get more specific information.
And what you will get would be the same information we got today, with 2/3 of the bus routes being eliminated, up to 10 stations being eliminated, and the metro access area being cut to its original ADA.
And then also part of that information will tell you on the IVR when you push whatever options, the meeting locations, times, and all those details that are on, that's presented to the public on the flyer to add further to answer some of Regina's questions.
Okay, thank you, Patrick, Chair Sheehan, and Paul. Next member of the public is Ansel Torres. Mr. Torres, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Good evening. I'd like to address the issue of budgeting. It is a major sore spot for me and many who use the service, primarily because Metro Access money is being funded fully by the government. However, we are only using, or Metro is only using, about 70% of the budget on Metro Access services and funneling the rest to Metro. That needs to be investigated, because it's not idle speculation. It clearly says that in the budget. And the sad thing here is that it's not like the money can't be used at Metro Access, because we have a website, a web booking system that continuously crashes. Every time I think, oh, wow, it's fixed, it's good, it's working, it's well, it crashes again. The automated scheduling phone system is broken, because when you get, many times it can't schedule you, and then when it figures out that it can't, it transfers you, and that transfer ends up being a hang-up call. What improvement is that? That's just adding more frustration on top of the frustration that riders have to deal with. I'm hearing now about the bylaws. The last time I was at this meeting, I said that there are a bunch of liars at Metro. And here it is borne out. We were promised by the chair, the illegitimate chair of this committee, that this bylaws thing was to be done last October. Here it is January, and they're now talking about putting it on the table. Why is that considered good governance of the people's business that you supposedly represent? I believe, and I will continue to maintain, that Metro Access either needs to be totally separated from Metro, because our funding is being stolen to use on non-priorities for the disabled. And that needs to fix, and that cannot go on. Even if it cannot be totally separated, there needs to be some distance where Metro Access money is treated totally separate from Metro money. And then we will see truth in budgeting, because as it exists right now, it's not working that way. And we're being lied to.
You have gone over your time.
Mr. Torres, you've gone over your 2 minutes.
Well, you've gone over your stay as chair, sir. You've been here for more than 33 years.
Alex,
so it's time for you to go.
I knew.
Yes, sir. All right. So that, Heidi, I see your hand is up. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. Heidi?
Hello. Yes, I'm sorry. It took me a second. I understand the 2 minutes. Mr. Torres, who just spoke, I put my hand up and down and up again because that's why I totally agree with you. I was on there 10 years ago, and some of those people had been on 20 years then. The AAC cannot function and should not be allowed to function without rotating members. There are members of you who need to lead.
Amen.
And new membership and leadership should happen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a corrupt organization if you're not following your own rules.
Mr.
And
Torres,
for the public.
I know. Thank you so
okay,
much.
You are corrupt.
Mute him.
The message. No, you can't mute me because I will be on mute.
Thank you.
Okay. So that concludes our public comment section, and it is 7:21.
We need, I did not get
Mr.
any
Torres,
of my question answered. I did not get my question answered, and I insist that they be answered. Thank you very much.
Comments, and
I need to get my questions answered.
Okay.
I made very, very specific statements for Mr. Blake to address, for the chair to address, and I'm looking for answers.
Sir,
what is the point of having the meeting if you're not addressing important questions that people are asking? Is this some sort of show?
Okay. So it is 7:22. Chair Sheehan.
I'm requesting that my questions be answered, please.
Mr. Torres, at this point, we may not be able to provide you with answers. We have made your notes of your comments, and we appreciate that.
When will they be addressed? I need to know. They don't have to be answered here, but I need to know when they will be addressed.
We can provide you with comments, responses at the next meeting. Thank you.
And I would also add, just for the, because I technically didn't hear a question for me, but what we can do is certainly have more of an open discussion if the chairman allows during the Metro Access subcommittee meeting, since that seems to be the topic of choice. But I'll answer any questions during that meeting. I think tonight we need to remain focused on where we're going. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Chair Sheehan, it is 7:23. If you would like, we can have 3 minutes each for the bus and rail subcommittee as well as the Metro Access subcommittee reports.
All right, very good.
Okay. Tina, would you like to go ahead and present your subcommittee report and take 3 minutes, please?
Yes. At the last meeting in January of the bus rail subcommittee, we dealt with elevator and escalator updates. We heard about the Metro Rail Car Auto Door, how that works. With respect to the WMATA budget, we learned for the first time in January what the RAC was doing. Apparently, it put together a video regarding its positions, and it also had prepared letters, which then went out a few days after our own meeting. And that was about the gist of it. That was it.
Thank you, Tina. Any questions for Tina? Very good, sir. You stay within your 3 minutes, Tina. Thank you. Paul?
All right.
I will keep this brief. So at our last subcommittee meeting, we discussed the WMATA budget for FY 2025. And we brought three motions to this meeting here, which we voted on to the main subcommittee meeting. And after that, the only other major thing is we talked about, again, the Metro Access inclement weather policy, and that we Metro Access management has stated that on those days they do try to notify customers and accommodate customers if they call in requests to be picked up earlier if it's feasible, using, you know, their vehicles or alternatives if that is feasible, and that service very key becomes curb to curb service during inclement weather if the driver, if the vehicle operator is not able to pick up the customer and render door to door. It will be curb to curb, and that there will be some leniency in terms of late cancellations or trips of that nature on severe inclement weather days. I think I kept all of that in. Any other questions for me?
I think we're good, Paul. Very good. Thank you, sir. Anu.
All right. So I just want to make my general announcement about public comments. Anybody who would like to submit their public comments before or after the meeting, they can do so via email. You can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100.
Let me say, if you refuse to answer my questions, my protests at these meetings will get worse and worse. I'm just putting you on notice.
Mr. Torres, every member of the public is allotted 2 minutes. We need to remain within the times. We appreciate your comments.
Every member of the public is allowed a chance to serve 12 years. You cannot have people serving 33 years and tell me nonsense about 2 minutes.
Torres,
give me a break. It is absolutely irrelevant. You are corrupt.
Mr. Torres, you're done.
Oh, Anu, shut
this
up.
Meeting is adjourned. Anu,
okay.
This meeting's adjourned.
All right. Thank you. Have a great evening, everyone.
Thank you. Anu, will the slides that were presented by the budget people, are they going to be available somehow?
Bear with me 1 second, Tina.